Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, Keenan Allen still can't practice. I'm guessing that bodes poorly for the idea of him playing on Sunday. Am I right or wrong?
I mean, that's the way I would be looking at this situation. Is it inconceivable that he could be out there today and then play probably not at 100% on Sunday? I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility, but we'll have a better indication a little bit later today after we see what the participation report is for practice and then how the Bears go ahead and designate some of these players for Sunday's game in Indianapolis.
How are you feeling about Tevin Jenkins? He returned to practice in a limited capacity. Prior behind him, the Bears need a healthy offensive line to run the ball as well as they hope to. Do you think Tevin Jenkins gives it a go?
Yeah, I would think that he'll likely be out there. You know, this is a contract year for Tevin. Availability has been a question for him in the past. So if he can go limited in practice on Thursday, I would imagine he'll find his way to the starting lineup on Sunday. You would certainly hope so anyway, right?
So David gets mad when I ask this question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Why is Velus Jones now a wide receiver again and not a running back? Has he switched positions?
I don't think they actually ever changed him to running back in how they list him. Like when they moved him to running back, I don't think they put an RB in front of his name. I don't believe he was on the running back depth chart at any point. I could be wrong on that. But
he was running with the wide receivers yesterday and Wednesday, by all accounts.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got a
man down.
You're missing one of your guys there, right? You got a guy that's out there, that's probably the best explanation I could give you. You know, like I think it was a little unrealistic to 2 weeks into camp to shift him to running back and think he can make a difference in there. Could they put him in for a player here if he's active at running back? Yeah, I mean, but they've got way bigger issues running the football right now than finding touches for Velus Jones in the run game. They've got to get it going with Swift and Herbert or get Roschon Johnson involved and figure out how to get him going as well. I think you know, you can call Velus whatever you want. You can see him wherever. He's, at this point, a special teams player that doesn't really return the ball and a gadget guy on offense. And they've got so many skill position players that they need to see get the ball. I don't know how much use you have for a gadget player. There's the cut Velus Jones now crowd or cut him last week crowd that's out there. And I hear that point. What's the plan to get better? Who are you going to bring in? And I know you could probably have 20 people call in right now and say, sign an offensive lineman. Well, we've been through this many times before. The guys at the offensive line store that are on the shelf right now either have next to no experience or they're all banged up.
What'd you make of Shane Waldron's explanation that every sack – every one of the seven last Sunday night was an entity unto itself and all those explanations? And I don't know exactly what he was trying to say or who he was trying to protect, but how did you interpret Shane Waldron's explanation of the pass protection woes?
Yeah, I mean, I can see that. I can understand that. They're all an entity, you know, to themselves, and you need to study them individually. But when you have that kind of volume and when you have the quarterback being pressured as consistently as it is, it's the problem there, the entity is your offense the players in your offense are not executing at a acceptable level, period. So, you know, you can look at a play and say this one's on Darnell Wright. You can find another one and say, well, the interior guys didn't pass off this stunt. You can say that, you know, Caleb's either got to stick with a run play on one of the sacks or get the bubble screen out immediately. Yeah, I mean, it's Waldron's part of the problem. The offensive line's part of the prop. The whole shooting match has been part of the problem. So he could explain it any way he wants and try to zero in on, well, we look at them individually. Okay, great. But, like, collectively, you've all stunk to this point. So what makes you confident that this is going to improve?
Have you decoded him yet? In other words, I listened to some of his responses, and I won't call them answers, but some of his responses. And it was, he goes on a bit, and he doesn't really address what the question is. And I'm not sure that he tells you much.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot there yesterday where I'm like, okay, like, this makes sense. Like, I can, yeah, I'm with you. They're more like responses than answers. He's nice about it. He's pleasant. It seems to this juncture anyway that he's one of the coaches that seems a little, you know, uncertain about what they should say to not give anything away or be critical of any players. And I get that. You know, they had some tough offensive times the past two seasons, and I thought Luke Getsy was a guy that most Thursdays when he talked would stand there and give you answers that seemed to make sense, that he wouldn't, you know, dodge and evade issues. He was supportive of the players. Did it go well for them all the time? No, but hey, we'll see. And the reality is, you know, Shane Waldron could stand up there and give three-word answers all day long. If they're playing well, that's fine. If they're not playing well, that's fine also. But that's his job's to get them playing a lot better. They've got to establish some sort of identity offensively. They've got to start showing an ability to get some of these skill position players that are making some good money for good reason involved and effective. They've got to be able to sustain some drives and score some points.
We've spent so much time talking about the Bears offense this week, Brad. I wonder if we've overlooked the fact that the Colts have some explosive weapons themselves. And I think Anthony Richardson, while maybe erratic early in his career, he could be a problem, and he's a big play guy. Jonathan Taylor, same way. He's a home run hitter. If he breaks one tackle, he could be gone. How do you think how equipped are the Colts offensively to attack this Bears defense, which has been very good in both games, especially in the second halves?
Yeah, the defense has been really terrific. I think it's a pretty basic formula here for the Bears. If they can have some success against Jonathan Taylor on early downs, you get Anthony Richardson in a situation where he's got third and unmanageable, and that's gonna fall right into the hands of the Bears. I think Richardson's completing, I think it's 49.1% of his passes through the small sample size, but he's got some big ones, some big plays. I think everybody's probably seen the one that I think was shot from a drone in the season opener where he's off balance, back foot, and he, mm-hmm. I don't know, spends it like 65 yards downfield, which is ridiculous. Taylor's had some good production this season. He's averaging almost 5.5 yards a carry. What's been interesting so far is I believe the Colts have only got like 5 called quarterback runs, okay? Because Richardson's run the ball 10 times, but I think half of those are on scrambles where he's forced out of the pocket. And that could very well be because they want to keep his shoulder healthy after the injury last season that shortened his rookie year and led to surgery. But you're talking about a guy who is a bigger, more physical, powerful Justin Fields when it comes to running the football. Like he's Justin Fields was a good-sized quarterback. This guy's got quite a bit on Justin in terms of size and power and strength, I think, and he's got that speed too. So we haven't seen much of that to this point, and I'm sure that the Bears have been bracing for that. Okay, could this be the week where Richardson's going to run it 12 times? And you've got to be careful because he can be electric with the ball in his hands.
So, Brad, there are 9 winless teams right now in the NFL. And when you look at the numbers, I think 19 of the 21 teams over the last 3 years that finished or that started 0-2 did not make the playoffs. Only 2 teams did. And that's over the last 3 years. Since 1990, 279 teams have gone 0-2, and 32 made the playoffs. That's 11.5%. I'm wondering, it gets worse, obviously, if you go 0-3. You're pretty much done. We talked to Mike Palm from Circa, and he said that since 2010, of the teams that started 0-2, they are 70% winners in week 3. How important is this game to the Colts season? And does that give them an advantage of any kind playing at home and being a favorite in the game?
Oh, boy. I mean, maybe a little. They're 0-2. The Bears can't afford to overlook anyone right now the way they've played offensively. Like, had the Bears been sort of humming along and they looked okay, they need to get better, I could see them sort of falling into a trap, but they've played so poorly offensively that I would imagine the coaches have been able to get full focus, attention to detail, and things of that nature out of them in practice this week. What's also interesting, strictly from the perspective of the NFC race, is there's only 4 unbeaten teams remaining in the NFC after 2 weeks. And goodness, I don't know who out there could have predicted the 4 would be Minnesota, New Orleans, Seattle, and Tampa Bay. Like, come on down and collect your prize. That was your list of 4 teams that would still be unbeaten going into week 3 in the NFC. So it's really interesting. It's too early to kind of say, well, how's the conference going to shape up? But you're looking at it now and you're like, okay, there are going to be some new teams to the party this year. And some of these teams you're accustomed to are going to have to rally a little bit. You know, you got a whole host of these NFC Super Bowl contenders, Philly, Detroit, San Francisco, Dallas. They're all 1-1.
All right, Brad, so you're going down to Indy. You're going to be at Lucas Oil Stadium. The Bears, Colts, noon on Sunday. Who wins?
Yeah, I real kind of back and forth about this at the very start of the week and kind of playing it through both ways in my mind. And then by the middle of the week, I was pretty confident this is a game the Bears can win. I believe that when you look at the 4 units that are going to be on the field on Sunday, talking about Bears offense, Bears defense, and the Colts offense and Colts defense, the Bears defense is far and away the best unit that's going to be on the field. And the way that Anthony Richardson's played this year, I would imagine there's going to be an opportunity for multiple takeaways, opportunities to get extra possessions for Caleb Williams in the offense. The Colts have been so awful stopping the run, which is a little hard to figure because they've got some players in there in the middle. And DeForest Buckner's out this week. He's on IR. Grover Stewart, the nose tackle, can be a load to move inside. That'll be a tough task for Coleman Shelton, the center. But I've got Bears 20-10, guys.
I'm curious.
What do you guys have?
I've got Bears 26-17.
I took the Colts 19-17.
Yeah, Dave, I don't know how they're going to get to 26.
Four field goals by Mr. Santos in a season where everyone's kicking field goals, Brad. Two touchdowns, 12 and 14 is 26.
The Bears do play four winless teams thus far in a row here. They've got the Colts, then they host the Rams. They've got the Panthers coming in, and then they play the Jags in London. How do you think they'll do in this stretch? I mean, is this where you build your – yeah.
Yeah, and then coming out of that Jacksonville game, they've got a bye, and then they've got a trip to Washington. The Commanders are 1-1. I don't think they're going to be a playoff contender this year. They're in the very beginning stages of a rebuild. Yeah, this is where if the Bears play to their capability, and understanding you're going to have ups and downs with the rookie quarterback, and there's going to be growing pains, and it's not going to look great every week. But if they just play better and continue to get this defensive performance, they've also been very good on special teams. We can't omit that. If they could get to a point here, guys, where, I don't know, they're like 6-2 down the road, and are they going to be in the running for the number one seed in the bye? Probably not, but I'm willing to bet you top dollar some of these folks that are going bananas over the poor play of the offensive line, and I'm using bananas for another term there that we can't probably say on family radio, those folks will swing the other way and talk about, Super Bowl or bust, and they'll have their reservations made for New Orleans.
Great stuff, Brad.
I think they could get on a roll here. But it's got to start this Sunday,
right?
Got to
start Sunday.
Yes.
Why is it so hard to figure out how to get to 26? How do you not know how to get to 26?
Go back and watch the first two games, buddy.
Oh, wow. Thank you for the education, Professor Biggs.
Yeah. David is taking off his shoes and socks right now, trying to figure out how to get to 26.
You guys have a great is Fort Bot 740 or
740? Yes. 740, yeah. Yes. Thanks, Brad.
Thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend, fellas.
Thank you, Biggsy.